Chapter 83. Lies Lucifer and the Leper Colony. In the cab, I asked, "Why do you never stand up for me when people insult me?" Sidney Grice took a swig from his flask, something I was never allowed to do with mine.
"Why do you not for me?"
He tapped the cork back in.
"In fact, you twice made remarks about my lack of mellowness."
And I realized that he was right. I did not think you cared. I shaded my eyes against the sun and wished I could have borrowed Mr. Bly's spectacles.
"You were not wrong to adopt that belief."
He nibbled the collar of his Ulster overcoat with his lips. We sat in silence, jostling over a rough surface that had been temporarily repaired before I came to London. "Would you like me to be nicer to you in future?" I asked, after some thought.
"Good Lord, no," he protested. "You are kind to street urchins, beggars, and stray animals. Am I to be included in their numbers?"
"Perhaps not."
"What causes scabies?"
He rattled his halfpennies. "Lice," I said, though he must have known the answer. He cupped his ear. "Lice," I repeated.
"Louder."
"Lice," I shouted.
"Three times in rapid succession and as loud as you can, if you please."
"Lice! Lice! Lice!" I yelled at the top of my voice. A young man carrying a pyramid of brown paper parcels nearly spilled them. A miniature poodle hid in its mistress's skirts, and the hatch slid open.
"Tell her the truff, for God's sake, squire, before the horse has an heart attack."
"I knew I could rely on you to make a scene,"
my guardian said with evident satisfaction, as we turned left into Gower Street. Sidney Grice popped his eye out as he habitually did in the evenings. They fitted much better since he had permitted me to make a gutta-percha impression of his socket, and they looked better after I had the idea of getting a young painter by the name of Sickert to match the colours and tones of his left eye on a piece of card. "I know we agreed that the attacker may be unable to father children," I perched on my armchair, "but there must be plenty of other men in such a condition apart from those unfortunate patients."
27,418 hours and 19 minutes ago, Mr. Anthony Lamb was battered to death in Brompton Cemetery.
Mr. G. tied on a violet patch. "I remember reading about it. They never caught his murderer, did they?" I went to the window. A boy was doing cartwheels across the road and springing up with his hat held out in the vain hope of a donation, and I wished that I had seen him earlier. "But how can you prove that the killer was one of his patients?"
"If my unparalleled powers of reminiscence have not failed me, which they never have yet, I believe that the witnesses reported hearing shouts of 'lies, they were lies,' as the crime was being committed."
I clicked my fingers. "And when I shouted 'lice,' our cabbie thought I was saying 'lies,'" I realized, "which shows that the murderer may well have been one of those patients. But we do not even know their names. And how does it demonstrate any connection between him and Lucy's attacker?"
"Pertinent questions,"
my godfather conceded, striding behind his desk.
"But there is something itching inside the parietal lobe of my right cerebral cortex, and I cannot scratch it."
"A mental louse," I suggested helpfully.
"Something very like that,"
he agreed.
"There is a link, and I know it, but I cannot quite join the pieces together."
He wrenched open a drawer of his filing cabinet and leafed through the files.
"Now, where are we? Lacey G, Lacey R, Lad P."
His fingers raced through the rows.
"Ah, here we are. Lamb, D-A.
He paused.
"Lamb, D-A," he murmured in puzzlement. "Lamb, D-A.
Sidney Grice froze.
"Oh, how stupid you have been."
I was not sure if he was talking to me or himself, for his eyes were transfixed by the title at the top of his brown envelope.
"What does Lamb D.A. spell, March?"
"Lamb D.A.," I repeated stupidly.
"Say it all as one word,"
he commanded. "Lambda."
"Harden your A."
"Lambda," I tried. "Lambda, the..." I counted on my fingers, 11th letter of the Greek alphabet.
Write it.
He thrust the envelope at me.
Write it on the back.
I placed the envelope on his desk. Can I use your pencil?
Certainly not.
Or your pen?
Are you mad?
That was not the most tactful of questions, I complained.
I am not the most tactful of questioners,
he assured me,
which, of course, made everything all right. But if I had to worry about people's feelings, I should have to start worrying about people instead of the important things in life.
I folded my arms and hoped I did not look too much like our maid. I suppose I am not important, then.
When?
He slid the envelope back towards me. Now, I glared at him. Well, what is your answer to that? He listened blankly.
The last question you posed concerned permission to use my pen, and I believe that I was insultingly dismissive of that request.
I threw up my hands and got my bag from beside my chair, and found my own pencil with the notebook I kept but rarely used. It is like an upside-down V, I said, and wrote an upside-down V.
By Lucifer!
Sidney Grice almost danced on the spot in his frustration.
Must I spend every waking hour with a stubborn idiot girl?
I was not aware that you knew any.
For goodness sake!
He threw back his head.
This is no time for one of your puerile sulks. Draw it in lower case, woman.
I supposed that woman was an improvement on girl, but it did not sound much like one. I gritted my teeth and wrote it.
At last!
He stabbed at my inscription with his left thumb.
And what, if I can persuade you to activate that minuscule part of your so-called mind that is not completely occupied with fashion and frippery and buttons and silly, silly frills, does that remind you of?
I traced the symbols with my finger. A badly drawn X, I said.
Sidney Grice let out a deep breath. At last, he said.